deceive me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
Oh, yeah. Hello, friends, and happy Thanksgiving holiday to all of you in the United States. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area, and the fastest-growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with a wonderful base of over 160,000 listeners in over 70 countries. We have an incredible show for you today. On today's show, from 2 to 2:15 approximately, I'll be giving live messages from President John F. Kennedy for the Thanksgiving holiday. President Kennedy has instructed me to give everyone this listening today a beautiful Thanksgiving message of peace, which I will read in a few minutes. Then following that, we're supposed to have on a wonderful animal psychic named Sherry Spring. Unfortunately, we have not been able to reach her. And so if we can't reach her in the next few minutes, then we'll bring on Jerry Bedlington, who's a wonderful man who works with angels from Mount Vernon, Washington. He's an incredible guy, and I know you'll find him very interesting. During the next hour, for the first of the next hour, from 3 to 3:15, I'll be interviewing a gentleman named Sidney Kirkpatrick of the Edgar Cayce Foundation in Virginia. Edgar Cayce has been called the sleeping prophet, the father of holistic medicine, and the most documented psychic of the 20th century. A new full-length film on Edgar Cayce will be shown during my Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington, on Saturday, March 10th, 2018, at 9101 Silicon Road in Olympia, and it will make its first North American showing. And from what I know, this is the first time a full-length film has been made on Edgar Cayce, so if you can come to the premiere showing, I urge you to do so. It's being shown on loan from the producer's office in Tokyo, Japan. The producer is Tetsu Shiratori. He's a famous Japanese spiritual director, and I'm so happy he's letting me show his film. Then during the second hour, I'll be interviewing a wonderful lady named Michelle Newman. She's a sound healer who uses crystal bowls to heal people. She's also in good touch with the people of Telos and the Hollow Earth, and she'll be channeling them on the show. But before we start, I'd like to play this music for my next announcement. I have a wonderful producer today named Harmony who's filling in for Eric. But Harmony, thank you so much for helping me out today. Could you play El Cantor Pasa, please? Thanks so much. This music leads me into my next announcement that I'll be returning to Peru from January 23rd to February 7th, 2018. And if you'd like to go with me, the cost is only $350 per person in addition to airfare and accommodations. The airlines right now are actually having a seat sale to Peru, and it's not very expensive. And once you get there, prices in Peru are very reasonable, with accommodations ranging from only $7 to $20 a night. We'll be visiting Machu Picchu, Cusco, Lima, Lake Titicaca, and lots of incredible places. And this is a trip that you won't want to miss. Last month, I visited with Zora and Billy Woodard, and they told me how and where to enter the Hollow Earth at Machu Picchu and at Lake Titicaca. He said that there are entrances to both. They told me how to get in, and so the people with me hopefully will be able to gain entry to both places. If you're interested, please send me an email to outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me anytime on my cell at 509-750-9793 here in the United States. I want to thank everyone so much for their support for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outoftheisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we will create a much better and happier world. I also want to thank everyone around the world who helped me raise consciousness and make this planet a better place, especially Jan Rossini of California, Bill Bacon from Seattle, Anita Curtis from Dublin, Ireland, and Mary and Elias Neuschwanger from Costa Rica, as well as Faison and Shirley, beautiful people from Florida. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Crystal Voyage Bookstore and Spiritual Center in Tacoma and Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. With that, I'd also like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website, providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and my producer today, Harmony, for helping me out, and KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I want to tell everyone that my dear friend Carol lost her father last week, and so I'd like to ask everyone today, listening today, to please send lots of love and light to her and her family to help them deal with the loss of their beautiful father. I also would like to ask everyone today to send lots of love and light to Carolyn White in Olympia. She's recuperating now from a surgery she had, and she's doing really well. Also, if you could, send lots of love and light to Masako Michiko Hayashi's mother in Japan and my good friend Orion in Bend, Oregon, as well as Dr. William Mount in Tacoma. I know that thanks to your love and light and wonderful prayers that they are feeling much better. I also like to ask everyone to send lots of love and light to the people of Puerto Rico who are still recuperating from that hurricane that went through their beautiful island here last month, as well as to the Dominican Republic, the Virgin Islands, as well as the people of Mexico who've been affected by an earthquake last month. I want to tell everyone I have a wonderful spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with loved ones who've passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me anytime to outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also call me on my cell at 509-750-9793 or toll-free at 1-888-879-8339 anytime in the United States and in Canada. I wanted to tell you some upcoming events coming up. I'll be having my fourth annual Galactic Wisdom Conference on March 9th, 10th, and 11th in Olympia, Washington, and I'll be bringing in Michiko Hayashi, the Modal Peace Project, Dr. Yoshi, who will be demonstrating the wonderful Hado machines. In addition, we'll be having Dr. Kyle Roca from the Bahamas. He's a fabulous naturopathic doctor who will be giving presentations on acupuncture, feng shui, ancient Buddhist healing techniques, homeopathy, and some other wonderful healing methods. I'm also invited Dr. Angel Angel Fernandez from the Dominican Republic, and he'll be talking all about Telos and the Hollow Earth, where he's been many times. In addition, Simon Parks will be giving a presentation, as well as Paul Hellier. I also will be giving a presentation on messages from our good friend, Professor Albert Einstein, Jack Kennedy, his brother, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, as well as Mahatma Gandhi, Nikolai Tesla, Nostradamus, the Galactic Alliance, and Dr. Masaru Emoto. I hope you can all come. Now, a special part of that conference will be on Saturday, March 10th at 2 p.m. I'll be showing a film called Reading. It's the world premiere of Tetsushiro Tori's film on Edgar Cayce. Now, Mr. Shiratori's office tells me that there has been no full-length film done on Edgar Cayce before now, but he's the first one to do it, and he's loaning me the film so we can so he can come on. So I can't wait for that. And with that, what I'd like to do is to start off my show with President Kennedy's beautiful Thanksgiving message. And I'd like to read the message he gave me the other day to give to you, and then with some other passages. He asked me to read this message to all of you listening today. He says, "My fellow Americans and citizens of the world, on this Thanksgiving holiday, I want you all to build bridges between the haves and have-nots, between all races and cultures and countries of the world, and to realize that we are all one. The beautiful, peaceful world that I tried to create in the 1960s will be soon realized in your life." And he says, importantly, do not let negativity stop you from creating this beautiful new world. As I said in my inaugural address to the nation on January 20th, 1960, quote, "Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and success of liberty." And importantly, instead of bashing Mexico or blaming others for our problems, he said, "To our sister republic south of the border, we offer a special pledge to convert our good words into good deeds in a new alliance for progress, to assist free men and free governments in casting off the chains of poverty. But this peaceful revolution of hope cannot become the prey of hostile powers." And he emphasized these hostile powers come from both foreign and domestic sources. He also said, "Let both sides explore what problems unite us instead of belaboring those problems which divide us." President Kennedy says, he finished his address and wanted me to tell everyone to, quote, "To a new world and a new age where war, poverty, and hate will be replaced with peace, prosperity, and love. To a beautiful new world, I and the First Lady and all of our families wish all of you a beautiful and peaceful Thanksgiving." For me, it's just as easy and natural for me to talk to President Kennedy and Jacqueline on the other side as it is to talk to you today, because I've been a psychic for about 23, 24 years, and I come from a psychic family. So I hope you enjoyed that. He also wanted me to play excerpts of his inaugural address. And Harmony, could you please play those excerpts now? This is from his inaugural address in 1960, which has as much relevance now as it did so many years ago.
"Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty. United, there is little we cannot do in a host of cooperative ventures. Divided, there is little we can do. If a free society cannot help the many who are poor, it cannot save the few who are rich. To our sister republics south of our border, we offer a special pledge to convert our good words into good deeds in a new alliance for progress, to assist free men and free governments in casting off the chains of poverty. But this peaceful revolution of hope cannot become the prey of hostile powers. Let all our neighbors know that we shall join with them to oppose aggression or subversion anywhere in the Americas. And let every other power know that this hemisphere intends to remain the master of its own house. All this will not be finished in the first 100 days, nor will it be finished in the first 1,000 days, nor in the life of this administration, nor even perhaps in our lifetime on this planet. But let us begin. Now the trumpet summons us again, not as a call to bear arms, though arms we need, not as a call to battle, though in battle we are, but a call to bear the burden of a long twilight struggle, year in and year out, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, a struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself."
And there's one more segment I'd like to play, and so my fellow Americans. Do you have that there, Harmony? Okay, it's 13.42 to 15.25. But we'll play one more segment.
"And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man." Finally, whether you are citizens of America or citizens of the world, ask of us here the same high standards of strength and sacrifice which we ask of you. With a good conscience, our only sure reward, with history the final judge of our deeds, let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking his blessing and his help, but knowing that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own.
Isn't that a beautiful speech? He wanted me to play that today with those excerpts because President Kennedy and his wife Jacqueline are still very much alive on the other side. They're simply in another dimension. That's one thing I've learned from decades of talking to spirits on the other side. Sure, people joke with me and they say, well, they're dead, aren't they? Well, they've lost their body, but their souls are still very much alive. And we are all souls inhabiting a physical existence on this planet as a big school to learn lessons, to hopefully spiritually advance, so we can better ourselves and better this planet. And one the very profound message that President Kennedy has given me over and over again is that this planet is destined to go into the higher dimensions where war, poverty, and hate will be replaced with peace, love, and joy. And we are headed for that now. The planet is rapidly ascending into the higher dimensions. And anyway, I'm so glad that I could give this message from him today. Finally, I'd just like to wrap up this Thanksgiving message with a couple of minutes of the Fifth Dimension. Thank you so much for listening today, my friends. And Sherry Spring, a wonderful animal psychic, is unavailable. We've been unable to reach her. And I hope she can call into the show. If she's listening, please call into the studio, Sherry. In the meantime, I do have a backup. I have my good friend Jerry Bedlington. He has a business called Angel Team Healing up in near Bellingham and Mount Vernon, Washington. And he brings in teams of angels to help people with that whatever spiritual problem or physical problem they may have. And I'm so happy to have you on today in this special time of the year. Jerry, welcome to Out of This World.
Well, thank you, Ted. It's wonderful to be with you there and all your guests.
Well, my pleasure.
Happy holidays to all of them, for sure.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Jerry, before I know you have an event on Sunday, and I want you to tell everyone about that before we forget, and then I want to move on to our interview.
Oh, yeah, you bet. Yes, Sunday, this is in Linwood, Washington. This is about 30 miles north of Seattle. This will be at the Dowsing Group. This group douses water and teaches other folks how to douse the water fields and work with pendulum energies and so forth. But my presentation is going to be learning how to manifest. We live in a dual field of spirit planes, physical plane, and so I'll be showing them how to reach into space and time, grabbing what they wish and their manifesting of maybe abundance or health or whatever they wish, and how to bring that in and how to get it into a point where they can utilize it in their physical body and their physical experience. So the address there is 20108 56th Avenue West, Linwood, Washington. And all people are welcome to have a little Thanksgiving dinner right after that presentation.
Oh, how nice. How nice. Well, thank you so much, dearie. Now, you have an interesting background. How did you ever get interested in contacting the angelic world to help people?
Well, I'm actually an aircraft mechanic. I'm certified by the FAA, mm-hmm. and I worked for 30 years. But I've always been interested in what we call the woo-woo world, so to speak. A lot of folks would call that. And so I married a young lady. She was smart, attractive, spoke her mind, and she was handicapped with Tourette syndrome. Mm-hmm. And I learned medicine through that whole process, but I realized that we have a problem. When people are sick, they look at the physical body, but they don't look in the spirit plane to see what's bringing it in. Mm-hmm. And so when a person comes to me, then I always look in the spirit plane and see what's manifesting it. But as my wife passed on a few years ago, mm-hmm. I took a class on the auric field of the body, and there I learned I could hear the angelic presence. Then I took a class from a woman that talked a bit in metaphysics. There I learned how I could bring angels in, mm-hmm. and energy surgery I learned in that class also. So I practiced and practiced, and as time passed, I got 10 teams of angels to work with, and I got more angels as time passed. And I'm actually taught by the Creator and the angels how I'm taught. Those two classes are the only classes I've ever had. So if I want to know something, I'll call like Ted up or one of my clairvoyants, and I can pull holograms up. I can see anything in space and time that they allow me to see, and then I can get more information and insight. And from that point, then I'm able to I always kind of know what's going to happen next because my ability is discernment and knowing. I don't have the visual skills like Ted has.
Ah, I see. Okay, well, that's great. I know that we've worked together before, Jerry, and you contact your angels, and then you ask me if I can see it, and then I can see it very clearly. So we work together to answer people's questions and to help them out. There's a book called The Urantia Book that was published back in the 1950s, and that's a fascinating book. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, Jerry, but it's got I think it's 2,000 pages long, but it's got an incredible amount of information on the angelic world and all the different hierarchies of angels. Have you read that book, Jerry, or have you heard about it?
No, I have it in my possession, but I've never read it. I've never got focused to get into that piece of material.
You know what's funny is that I've had the book for the last 10 years, and I think I've gotten through the first 25 pages, but it's like 2,000 pages, and every once in a great while I'll open it up and look at it. And I'll think, wow, what an amazing amount of material. Maybe one of these days, when I have some time, I'll sit down and actually read it. But 2,000, it's a long book, but it's an incredible amount of information. I've seen the list that you've showed me, Jerry, of the team. It's like you've got like, what, 200 teams of angels or more than that?
I have a little over 21 quadrillion teams.
Quadrillion?
That's a lot. In the beginning, I only had a few teams, and I'm trained. This is how I'm trained. When I go into a session, I'm thrown under the bus each time, mm-hmm. and I got to figure out how to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And so with the help of a clairvoyant and me discerning, I can bring teams in appropriately and accordingly to neutralize the energy out, shift it. Or if I got a demonic being there, I can take the being back to the Creator, take him out of this dimension. And so I'm trained in that modality of hands-on in my face. And at this point in time, I've done over 4,000 sessions. Wow. Angelic session. So, and I always learn something new when I go in. So I'm always open to whatever's in front of me and to learning what might be present there.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, tell me some of the ways you've helped people. I know that I've called you up from time to time, and you've been able to talk the soul of a person. How does that work, for example?
Well, talking to the soul, I first always get permission. I never access a soul or any kind of a situation in the spirit plane, so I get permission from the Creator, and that's who I'm actually taught by. And so I always ask for permission first, and if he gives me a green light, and I'm usually dowsing or I'm discerning, if I get a green light to bring him in, I bring him in, and I talk with them. And when a spirit talks to you, or the soul, it's like a whisper in a thought form in a flash of a second. It's like a whisper in a thought form. So you got to be paying attention and. You got to kind of be relaxed. You don't want to be intense about it. You just kind of it's like a person 10 feet away from you whispering, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very subtle. And mm-hmm. and I'll ask questions and they'll give me input. Now, the soul and a person in the human consciousness may not be on the same page. So if I bring a person in and the soul I'm talking to, that person may not be on the same page with the soul. But the soul is always giving me correct information. And so I can actually go in there and ask what the problem is in the body field, and they'll know that. if I have to go into past lifetimes and see what's going on there, the soul can give me input on that also.
Now, what's interesting is that when you, for example, we've done Chestnuts before, and it's fascinating the way you work, Jerry, because you'll contact a person's soul, but the soul itself is in the fifth and higher dimensions, and it's often separate from the person's consciousness in the third dimension. So the conscious person doesn't realize you're talking to their soul, but you're talking to their essence. And when you talk to a person's soul in the fifth dimension, there's no lying, there's no hiding of facts. You get straight answers, don't you? Is that true?
Yes. Yep, pretty much straight answers. And that's why I contact the soul like that, that I get straight, hard answers. And that's what I need, because if I'm going to do good for the person I'm working for or finding out information, I have to have truthful information so I can take appropriate steps to deal with what's going to happen there.
You know what you should do, and I think this would be a wonderful course for judges anywhere in the world, to learn, if you're a judge out there somewhere, to learn how to talk to a person's soul, because then you'll get straight answers about what they're telling the truth or not in a particular case, or witnesses for that matter.
Absolutely. It takes a while to learn, because, you know, like in your situation where you got visual capabilities, you can always verify from the physical plane to the spirit plane what you're looking at or talking to or seeing.
Sure.
But it's hard for the person like off the street that does not have third eye capability. But people, you've never heard anybody say that come and join the language of angel class. That doesn't exist in that modality. It exists as clairvoyant school. Mm-hmm. And the language is quite vast. It's discernment, knowing, third eye capability,
sure.
Feeling with all the five senses and hearing,
sure.
and dreams in the nighttime, deja vu. Their language is quite vast, but we do not understand that.
Right.
We're always fragmented because nobody ever teaches that. And, of course, when I do teach, I do have one lesson where I teach the language of angels, and we go in and find out what that individual, each of my students, what their best communication link is. Some might be auditory, somebody might have visual capabilities,
right.
or discernment.
Right.
So it's kind of an interesting
right.
process as I
right.
do that process, therefore.
As an example, I want, if you don't mind, we won't mm-hmm. mention the name for privacy, because you and I work with a lady back east recently who was having a lot of problems in her computer and her iPhone and where she was living. I don't want you to please don't mention. Please don't mention her name on
no,
the air.
No names.
But
yeah,
if you could tell what happened with her, yeah.
Yeah, let me share with the audience what's happened here.
Mm-hmm.
The lady contacted me. She'd been around the block looking for help, and she knew Ted, and Ted made mention. And so I came in, and Ted already gave me a heads up that there was a demonic being there. It was kind of in a cloud form. Was kind of shielding it up, so we couldn't really see it. But when I came in, I did find the being. And I engaged it in gold, light, and love of the Creator. And I had four warrior teams in there and two tracker teams. So we froze the energy of the being so they could not give any challenge to us. I never fight with any being. That's not my position. My position is just to freeze them in gold, light, and love and take them to the Creator. The Creator deals with all that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a transition point for their moving on.
Sure.
So we also found that she had computer problems. The beings looked like there was more than one being there, but there's this main being that we really got out. But I didn't realize that we had some more challenges there.
Mm-hmm.
And in that area of Pennsylvania, there was burial grounds for the Indians.
Right.
And there was also ceremonial grounds. And the white people had covered all these areas up, you know,
right.
and the Indians were very angry.
Sure.
And so we went in and looked at that, and I talked to the Indians, and they were highly upset.
And they were,
so I said,
pardon
me
for interrupting, Jerry, but mm-hmm. I remember doing this reading with you to help this lady out, and they'd been upset and angry for like 160 years.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, for a long time, since before the U.S. Civil War.
Yeah, they've been done wrong substantially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in the past, when I have had situations like this, I need to take the Indians to a better place. So I told my teams of angels, I brought them all in, and I instructed angels to let's make another place for them to live where they'll be peaceful and happy and will not have the challenge of the white man situation of prejudice and taking of their lands. And so the angels put that together for them. And then I had the Indians look at that, and I asked them, do you like this new place that I made for you? And they says, yes, we love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, okay, let's transition you over there. And so I had the teams go ahead and transition all the souls of those Indians on the land to that new place that they're going to live in,
right,
where they don't have this challenge of the intermeshing of the physical plane and spirit plane.
Wow.
And they look very happy. Take right hologram, guys. Show me all these Indians. Are they happy where they're at?
It's the first time they've been happy in over 160 years.
Excellent. That's what we need to have for.
And the other problem at that house where she's living is that there was the person, a man from England who'd built the house, but he was responsible for killing a lot of the Indians there, and his energy was there too, I think. And we had to get rid of that, right? I remember that.
Yeah, we had to go there and engage all of that energy. I had Sun Orb Angels come in and do that. We engaged it all in gold, light, and love. And I think he was still present, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was locked in the plane. So I froze him in gold, light, and love also of the angels,
right,
and the creator, and took him to the took him out. And then we cleaned the whole place up, because whenever you have a being present, they leave an energy signature or a footprint of their presence.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in and cleaned all that energy up so that would not be present. And then put a nice healing poultice through the land there for everybody.
Interesting. Wonderful. And this brings up another point, too. When you're dealing with spirits, as I understand it, I've been in touch with the other side for decades now. Once you die, once your physical body dies, you have a choice, actually, don't you, from the angelic world. You can go through the light and go through the life review and meet your angelic family. Or for spirits which are particularly attached to this third dimensional existence, they can just kind of hang around like this entity did for over 160 years. Is that right, Jerry?
Yeah. What I find is that that is correct what you're saying. The ones that do not go to the light, they're either afraid to face the creator as such, and they're going to stay here,
right,
or they're locked in here through their choices of anger or something's keeping them here. And I never know what it is until I get in there and start looking at what their earth experience was. But that's mainly the situation. But for the most part, they go to the light. Now, if you have individuals or spirits messing with people, it's usually the fact that they know that I'm around somewhere and that the individual they're messing with is going to contact me, and then I'll come in and see them, and then I'll
right,
freeze them in gold, light, and love,
right,
and take them to the creator, or I'll have transition teams take them on home, depending. And we do take them home also to the Temple of Life. They need rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they got into some drug situations or
right,
or anger or whatever. You know, there's a Temple of Life that they get rehabilitated in so they can move on to.
One of the things we were speaking about this a few days ago, Jerry, that when someone's in a hospital, for example, and traditional medical doctors here in the United States give them what's called comfort care, they may be in pain or whatever, but they'll give them such high doses of drugs like morphine for pain that
mm-hmm,
when the person does pass over, when their physical body dies, sometimes, Jerry, they don't know whether they're in this dimension or another dimension, and they end up wandering like poltergeist
yeah,
ghosts for decades because there's no time on the other side. And that's really a disservice. I wish medical doctors here in the United States would realize what they're doing to people. I realize that, you know, people, they want to get them out of their pain. But on the other side of the coin, when doctors here in the United States, anyway, give them such high doses of morphine and other painkillers, you confuse the soul completely so that when the person dies, the soul can be lost.
Yeah, the one thing with drugs, whether they be recreational drugs or medical drugs, they put holes in the auric field.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me give you a visual there so you can describe to the audience. Guys, right hologram, a person who has been involved in heroin or any kind of drug usage, give me a visual. Thanks, guys. You see all the holes in the auric field?
Yeah, I do see the holes in the person's auric field. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the auric field is a protection energy field for the earth experience. It kind of shields you up.
Right.
And when you have holes in it, then if there's any beings out there that are not our best and highest good, they can penetrate that field and then anchor into the body and start drawing energy off the body. You may feel exhausted. You may know something's just not right, but you can't pin it down because you're in the physical dimension only. You don't know the spirit dimension, how to tap into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a person dies, they usually have to be taken to the Temple of Light, get them rehabilitated, get
mm-hmm,
them supported.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The drugs are
the overwhelming message that I've received from my good friend Professor Albert Einstein and President Kennedy on the other side, that love really is the most important and powerful force in the universe, and even those for those negative entities out there on the other side, that'll help rehabilitate them and give them the peace that they want, because they're not happy. I don't think they're happy souls if they're wandering around not knowing where to go or what to do.
No, no, they're really challenged. You know, we come here before we come here, we're with the Creator, and we look at our Akashic record of this lifetime we're coming into, and we kind of agree to it. There are moments when I've had to go back in and ask to change the Akashic record in small increments because it was so devastating to that individual. But right. For the most part, I don't mess with that record. Mm-hmm. But we look from the beginning of their life to the end of their life and what they're going to experience. And it's hard to keep them focused. You will have guardian angels that will be there whispering and prompting you to do the right things and to get insights and so forth. Mm-hmm. But there again, it's like a whisper in a thought form in a flash of a second. It's just there and gone. If we don't pay attention, we right. miss some of these opportunities to do the right thing for our best and highest good.
One of the things that's really helped me was my dear foster mother, Terry, who helped me on my spiritual path, and my dear dad as well. Since I've been in touch with the other side since 1994, I have been given life reviews almost on a daily basis. And in a life review, typically you don't get until after you pass on. But a life review basically is how you've affected every person, even plants, animals, things even, not only from your perspective, but their perspective as well. And what you do typically in a life review after you pass on, you take all those life lessons, and with your Creator, you sit around typically with your soul family and decide what kinds of lessons you'd like to learn in your next lifetime. Fortunately, I've had those life reviews nearly every day for the past 23 years. That's really helped me advance spiritually as a result of that.
Yeah, the angels are assigned to you. Their main purpose is just to guide you through the earth experience. You know, we have like Archangel Michael and Raphael and Gabriel and them. They are the supervisors of these basic guardian angels that are with everybody, And when you're praying, you know, pray to the archangels, because that's who's going to come in and, mm-hmm. and deal with the situation for you. And they're on an overload, to say the least, because there's a lot of population that needs their various support.
I'm sure they're on overload on this planet.
Can I tell you a little story about Archangel Michael there?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
Everybody has seen The Exorcist, and right. I saw it, and that demonic being was quite skilled. Uh-huh. And so I was looking at the History Channel, and they had a documentary on The Exorcist and what happened there. They brought the Catholic Church in, and they prayed for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And then the third day, Michael came in and popped it out of body and got it out of there. So I thought to myself, well, why did it take him 3 days? So I says, Archangel Michael, I brought him in, and I says, Michael, why did it take you 3 days to get over here and take this being? He says, I was on overload. I said, okay, got it.
Funny. How funny.
Yeah.
How funny.
Yeah, so it's pretty funny.
One of the things that President Kennedy's told me in the past is that from his perspective up in the fifth and sixth dimensions, looking at this planet now, there are so many beautiful points of light and on the planet from a spiritual sense, and the vibrations of the planet are literally rising, and the wars that we've had in the past, the conflicts, they're not going to be part of our future at all. We are really headed to a golden age here on planet Earth.
We're blessed to be here in this time frame, mm-hmm. and you know, we're all in our different perspectives and earth experiences, but
right.
we all need to come together in peace, joy, and happiness and support one another. Mm-hmm. This is the big thing, that everybody needs to be supportive of each other. And yeah, there's a lot of contention out there, and you know, when I see contention, you know, there's only one of me trained like I am, because I'm trained by the Creator right. as such. Mm-hmm. But if I had 30 people trained like me, then we could do some serious intervention and helping people out, mm-hmm. but I'm only one person, so... I have some people in training yet. I do teach three classes, mm-hmm. and I have some people that are in the shoot training, like to where I'm at now.
Right.
But it'll be a while yet, because you know, they got to do checklists, and then they got to go work with a clairvoyant, and then they get to get into the field and start working their maximum potential.
Wonderful. Well, we have about 15 minutes left, and I'd love to hear. I'm sure my listeners would also love to hear, Jerry, some more stories about how you've been able.
Sure,
to help
absolutely.
People.
I got plenty of stories. Well, let me tell you about a gentleman that called me up one day.
Okay.
This gentleman called me up. He had my phone number for 3 months. Mm-hmm. He was a military man. He was a Navy SEAL at one time, and then remained right. in the Middle East and worked as a civilian.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his fellow military friends gave him my phone number. Mm-hmm. When he calls me up, he's frantic. Mm-hmm. That night, he had pulled his weapon out, and he's ready to shoot the place up. Mm-hmm. He knew something was in his house. He didn't know what it was. He could not see it.
Right.
So he calls up, and I scanned in, and I did find the demonic being in there. He was hiding in the closet in the darkness. Mm-hmm. So I says to him, hang tight, and I'll be back with you. So I hung the phone up, called up on my clairvoyant, and come back mm-hmm. in with my clairvoyant. Mm-hmm. And I pulled a hologram up, and we found him. It wasn't hard to track him down once I already pinned him in.
Right.
And then I told, I had two warrior teams, two DA teams, and two tracker teams. We went in, and we froze the being in gold, light, and love. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, I took him to the crater. Mm-hmm. I didn't leave him there. And then I dropped sun orb angels in behind their absorbed memory present, or the signature footprint, and dissolved that out. Mm-hmm. Then I sent tracker teams worldwide, and any more of these particular beings like this that are of demonic nature,
right.
Species or race, I had them engage them all in gold, light, and love, take them mm-hmm. all to the crater, because mm-hmm. they're not really supposed to be in this dimension. They're coming out of another dimension.
Right.
And so we took them out and cleaned the energy up. And he's been quite happy with that situation of getting that off him. When you get attacked by a demonic being or any kind of a being,
right.
It's pretty frightening. I have been attacked. It's pretty mm-hmm. frightening mm-hmm. because there's nobody to go to. A few of us are available out there that have skill level to deal with this kind of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, the religious community isn't really geared for any of this kind of stuff at all.
Right.
They have to go in there.
It was
another story?
Yeah, quickly, but I want to tell you that I have firsthand experience with a negative entity back in the, must have been about 15 years ago or so, where I was under attack for, it must have been 5 or 6 years. And finally, I engaged some psychics from California, very good psychics, Jerry, and they brought that entity to the light. And this entity, she's fine nowadays. She's gone to the light, and I think she's in a much better place. Yes, she says yes, she's in a much better, happier state of mind. But what's interesting is that when you work with negative entities or demonic beings, as you call them, Jerry, you don't fight fire with fire. You don't do nasty things to them, even though they've done nasty things to you. You always bring them to send them love and light and try to bring them to the Creator, because then they can be rehabilitated. Is that right, Jerry?
Yes, absolutely. You never know what you're up against, and of course, to work in the field that I'm working in, Ted's working, you need to have two things. Mm-hmm. You got to have visual capability to look in the spirit plane.
Right.
You will not drive that car down that road without being able to see where you're going. So you got to have visual skills.
Right.
Two, you got to have tools, and that are all my angelic teams. You know, once in a while, I have to bring the Creator himself in to take no names and take them out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I can pretty well deal with all the stuff that's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And so with those two things, we just freeze them in gold, light, and love, take them to Creator, and then he knows what's best for them. Mm-hmm. It's not me to make any kind of a judgment against them, because that's not what I'm supposed to be doing.
Sure.
And
Sure. Well, we've got about 11 minutes left, Jerry, and I'd love some more stories, if you can.
Okay, let's do another story. So one morning, one of my clients calls me up. The 31-year-old daughter is in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
intensive care.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a tumor in the left descending colon.
Okay.
This is on the left side of the body.
Okay.
And so I brought my clairvoyant in with me, and I had micro teams of angels working inside the body field, you know, neutralizing the energy out and rebalancing.
Mm-hmm.
I had a hard field team come in, and I changed the intestinal tract out from the mouth to the rectum, pulled that out, put a brand new spirit intestinal tract in.
Really?
And we did everything at that point we could do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then I says to the clairvoyant, I says, let's look and see what has caused this tumor to generate itself here. Because when I had learned energy surgery, my instructor says, you will never see anything originate here. Mm-hmm. It'll always come in from another time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And then every place in the body has what's called a picture box. And that, so as example, this left intestinal tract area has a picture box of all the lifetimes you've ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
And we can pull that picture box up, and we can spread those lifetimes out in a linear from left to right, so I mm-hmm. can look at them and see what's mm-hmm. gone on.
Mm-hmm.
So in this situation, we pulled the picture box up, we looked at it, and there we found that this individual was a man. Instead of being a woman, a man, 100 years, so right at the turn of the 1900s,
okay.
We saw this person in a gunfight and had been shot in the left-hand side in that area
oh, wow.
and had died.
Oh, wow.
So 100 years passed, and then that person came back in now as a lady.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we found generating. So when we are sick, we need to do two things. We need to, first off, be aware we have we live in two fields. We live in a spirit plane and a physical plane.
Right.
The physical plane is taking the impact on the body. We got to look at the spirit plane and see what's causing these things to happen. And when I see that, then I'll go back in with dimensional teams, and I'll neutralize the energy out in all these lifetimes that was trauma caused through their various acts of injury or death or whatever.
Sure.
And
sure.
Neutralize it out, pull the cores, dissolve, and then put a healing poultice in there. And then we go from there. Then they have a good chance of getting better if it's their time to remain here.
From what I know of the spirit world, when you work as a psychic in the fifth dimension, like you with angels, or I talk mm-hmm. to my spirit friends in the fifth and higher dimensions, and you do the healing on that higher dimensional level on the fifth dimension, then that translates into better health or better mental clarity here in the third dimensions. Because what happens in the fifth determines what happens here in the third. And that's what I've found in the past working through many psychic readings. The other thing I've found too, and this has happened with men and women I've met actually doing readings, is let's say you have a woman, for example, coming in for a reading, and it's funny when I do a reading, I'll contact her spirit guides. The first sometimes message I'll get is that person may have been a man in a previous life, and because that person in the previous life was so awful or so very rough on the edges, that entity, that soul, he decided to become a woman in this life to feminize and soften his soul because he felt like he needed that. And that's very interesting how people will flip sometimes between the male and female roles.
Yeah, this is quite often that we flip our roles so we get the experiences in, because in these physical bodies, you know, we talk of the soul, physical body. That soul comes into that physical body, and the body is like a vehicle for it. It goes around and does all the earth things, but
right.
It's getting it. The soul's getting that earth experience. But and then when the body's tired and is dropped to the wayside, then it goes on and comes in another time frame for another experience.
The other thing to remember when I've done readings like that on people, often their problems or physical problems in this lifetime will go back seven generations. And that number seven is very important, like 7 days of the week. There's what's mm-hmm. called the seven-year cycle or the seven-day cycle, where people, for example, will be in relationships for 7 years. They'll be in an occupation or a job for either 7 years or a multiple of 7 years. They'll be, for example, in one occupation, working for 7 years, 14 or 21 years, and then suddenly they will suddenly change. They may be in a marriage for 7, 14, or 21 years, and then they'll suddenly get divorced. But it almost works like clockwork, this seven-year cycle. And when I've done readings for people, and I remember when I was in the Dominican Republic, it was about a year and a half ago as I was at a conference there, and this one lady came in, and she was having a lot of health difficulties around her abdomen. And I looked at her, and I contacted her spirit guides, and she had these problems going back seven generations to when the Spanish first came to the Dominican Republic, and they killed off a lot of the Native Americans there. And she was a Native American, and she'd been stabbed in the abdomen by one of these conquistadors who'd come, one of the Spanish people who'd come in and killed her. But she was still having that difficulty, so I had to go back in to that lifetime, seven lifetimes ago, about 400 or 500 years previous to that, to that year, and do the healing, and then she felt better after that. But it's like in ancient Egypt, the doctors in ancient Egypt always felt that a disease was always a dis-ease. In other words, there was always a spiritual cause for whatever was happening on the physical level, and in order to do any kind of true healing, doctors back then would go back and find the spiritual causes for a particular physical ailment. And I guess this leads me to my other important point. I wish American doctors and doctors around the world would look at the spiritual the causes of things rather than purely the physical things, because we're a lot more than just physical beings. We're souls inhabiting a physical body. But if these doctors would only address the spiritual causes for people's diseases, they would have a far, far better and much higher success rate.
Absolutely. They would.
you know.
For sure. You know. Yeah, they got to stop all that spiritual energy coming in on those folks and impacting that disease they're having.
Right.
It's got to be neutralized before they can get a good success on that.
Right. And sometimes when well-meaning doctors prescribe drugs for people, all the drugs are doing, for example, morphine or the painkillers, that's destroying their auric field. So you get negative entities coming into a person, which causes them even more spiritual and physical problems as well. So they're just compounding the problem. It would be better for them not to take any painkillers whatsoever and to address the actual spiritual causes of a person's dis-ease, rather than just purely the physical, perceived physical causes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I come from a psychic family, and I know I'm sure both of us, Jerry, look at the world a little differently than other people do in terms of what's reality. And I have to tell you, my friends listening today, as I've been speaking, this beautiful white light has come into the studio. It's a cloudy day here in Seattle. There's no sunshine, but it's always nice and I know the angels are here. Can you feel them, Jerry? I can feel them here, their presence.
I sense them. Yeah. I sense their presence.
Yeah. And President Kennedy and Jacqueline are also around too. I can feel their beautiful energy. They're all listening today. They like what we're saying.
So if everybody would like to hold their hand out, I'll have the angels touch their hand. What do you think, Ed?
Great. Go right ahead. We got about 2 minutes left. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'll be quick as a wing. Guys, give me all things. Folks, hold your hands like I'm going to put an apple in it. Take some deep breaths and relax. Close your eyes. And I'm going to have the angels touch your hand, and what you're going to feel, I won't know for sure what you feel, but this is what generally they feel. They may feel some lightness, maybe some tingling, maybe a breeze, maybe some coolness.
I feel
guys,
tingling.
Go ahead and touch their hands, please, worldwide. Touch their hands. Amplify your fields. Thanks, guys. Okay, they're touching your hands now.
Oh, it feels so nice. I feel a tingling and a lightness.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah,
good.
Tingling and a lightness.
Good. You know, let me give my website out so they can at least be aware of where I'm at.
Yeah.
It's Angel, A-N-G-E-L, Team, T-E-A-M, Healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, .com, angelteamhealing.com. Go to the website, see the kinds of things that we do, and it's a wonderful website that's been put together. And give some insight. And I'm always out there supporting everybody, so don't hesitate to give me a shout and connect with me.
And what I like about you, Jerry, is that you're a very loving and giving guy, and you give a lot of free consultations to people. You're not in this for the money so much as you truly want to help people. You've also got a good heart, too, and that's what I like about you. And I'm so happy you could come on today because you're a gift to humanity, and I'm glad that you could share your stories with us.
Yeah, thanks, Ted. And for the audience, sign up for my email letter, and your birthday, I will give a free manifesting request, 15 minutes. I give a free manifesting request if they're on my email list.
Oh, how nice. So, I'm sure everyone will be asking for the lotto numbers.
Yeah, they are. Abundance flows all. But in the manifesting request, I do put abundance in there, and it's your responsibility to make it happen. But the angels are... when I do a request, it becomes a live energy field, like you're alive and I'm alive. It has a consciousness. And so it's your duty as a physical body to make things happen and that they'll support it.
Wonderful, wonderful. I want to ask, Harmony, could you play in about 5 seconds the Ask Not part of John F. Kennedy's speech? Yeah, I'll ask her to get that ready. Well, Jerry, thank you so much for coming on today. I'll be at his Angel Team Healing Workshop in Linwood at 2 o'clock on Sunday. And thank you again so much for coming on. I want to wrap up this hour with John F. Kennedy's Ask Not segment, and then we'll go on to our next guest in the next hour. We have some wonderful guests in just a few minutes. Thank you so much, Jerry, for coming on today.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye,
Jerry.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
The views views expressed on this program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative.